So, hey, will the last person in Washington to leave planet compromise please turn out the lights?
I will veto any bill that changes benefits for those who rely on Medicare but does not raise serious revenues by asking the wealthiest Americans or biggest corporations to pay their fair share.
Is the president through with compromise? Well, without a hint of the begging pass this bill tone of last week, the deal-making we can work this out reasonableness of most of the first term, or even the high-minded oratory of Inauguration Day or the Nobel Peace Prize speech, the president stated flatly yesterday to the GOP, no taxes, no deal.
This is not class warfare. It's math.
So is this the shot heard round the world in a principled fight to the finish, or more like an opening proposal in a negotiation to build, say, a new golf course next to an irate neighbor? On the line is Jonathan Chait, daily columnist for New York Magazine and author of The Big Con, Crackpot Economics and the Fleecing of America. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning.
So which is it here? I deliberately raised the voltage here, but in some sense, the gloves may be off, but are we going to see any bloody knuckles?
Well, look, I think he's already set this tone when he was saying pass this bill. He was saying he wants Republicans to pass the bill as it is. And I think the whole strategy, beginning with the jobs plan and continuing through the deficit plan, is to start off with the premise that Republicans are not going to pass anything. They're not going to pass anything decent. He discovered this during the summer when he offered them a ridiculously generous deal to reduce the long-term deficit, and they wouldn't take it. And I think he changed his view of them, and now he thinks his role is simply to put before the public what his ideas are and not to assume the Republicans are going to pass anything and just hope the public assigns blame to them for not passing it.
Well, hope is a little bit different than actually fighting. And if I can, again, be deliberately provocative here, we're talking with Jonathan Chait, daily columnist at the New York Magazine and author of The Big Con, Crackpot Economics and the Fleecing of America. I mean, you know, it's one thing to, you know, cleverly lure the GOP into a political trap. It's quite another to basically say, this is how it's going to be, and I'm not compromising, and GOP, get out of town.
He can't make them vote for something they don't want to vote for. They're autonomous. So all he can do is blame them for not voting for something he wants them to vote for. That's what he's doing. He's giving a series of speeches on this theme, explaining his ideas, and he's going to castigate them for not voting. He doesn't have any powers to force them to vote for a bill that they don't want to vote for.
Well, maybe that's the story here. The president doesn't have any power. There can't be a fighting president in America in 2011, Jonathan.
Well, there never could be a fighting president in the sense of forcing Congress to vote for bills the Congress doesn't want to vote for. I mean, Congress is an equal branch of government.
Well, let me just ask you, Jonathan. I mean, polls are strongly on the president's side. Every poll that I've seen shows majority support for raising taxes on the higher income wages. In fact, one of them, that was the only option for deficit reduction that got a majority of support.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yet... There was also public support for the public option in health care.
Sure.
That went into the political graveyard.
Yep.
So it appears that polls and what the American public generally supports or doesn't has nothing to do with it.
Well, it doesn't have nothing to do with it, but it's not enough to force members of Congress to vote for something that they don't want to vote for. Another thing to keep in mind is that the Republican majority is only going to vote for something that most of the Republicans want. And most Republicans' only fear of losing that they'll ever have to look at in their entire life is being deposed by a right-wing primary challenger. Most of them are in safe red state districts, red states in the Senate or deep red districts in the House. So the fact that most Americans may not want something isn't material to them. So, again, they're just not going to budge. And the Republican Party has made a large strategic decision that giving Obama – you know, bipartisan cover for major initiatives is only going to make him more popular and increase his chances and hurt their chances. But, and I think they're right about that.
But George W. Bush didn't, you know, insist on bipartisan cover. He just went ahead and did what he wanted. And you know, some would say that, Dick Cheney wasn't particularly interested in the White House being an equal branch of government. It wanted its power over Congress. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt, to use a Democratic example, did the very same thing.
Well, all those things are actually not necessarily true. Well, I mean, we can go through them one by one. Bush, Bush passed his tax cuts via a measure that managed to get around the filibuster. which you can only do for budget stuff. But the rest of his agenda, conservatives were apoplectic about this stuff, like the prescription drug benefit. You know, liberals said, oh, there he is rolling his agenda through Congress. Conservatives were freaking out, and they held the bill open for 3 hours to twist arms of right-wingers who hated this. Same thing with No Child Left Behind. Look, he's selling out. He's making a deal with Ted Kennedy. It's the same. You know, if you look at it from their point of view, this isn't, you know, him rolling his agenda through. This is him capitulating. Roosevelt had huge problems with his agenda, which is why in 1936 to 1937, he went after all the conservative Democrats in Congress who were stopping him from doing all these things he wanted to do. He campaigned, he barnstormed through the South, saying, you've got to, you know, throw this guy out, and none of it worked. And then the voters repudiated him, not them, and that was basically it for his domestic agenda.
Well, that's good to be reminded of, but we're talking with Jonathan Chait, daily columnist at New York Magazine. So is this more a matter of not so much of the president, but of the character of the different parties? Do you think the GOP is a better sort of principled fighter than the Democratic Party down through history?
I don't know about down through history, but I certainly think in recent years the Republican Party has become a much more coherent party. They've got much higher levels of partisan discipline in Congress. I mean, look at what happened in the last week. Obama came out with this jobs plan that had us all these ideas with bipartisan support and a lot of academic and economic support, pretty moderate popular ideas. And then you had Democrats sniping at it, saying there's too much spending. I mean, you just didn't have any equivalent of this on the Republican side. So there is a real issue in how the two parties in Congress behave.
That's fascinating. Well, you know, last thing before we go, you know, in the soundbite era, which is way past FDR before we go, you know, the tone of saying pass this bill, pass this bill, pass this bill, when you listen to the speech, it definitely feels like here's the fighter, Barack Obama. But when you cut those little bits up and play them in a montage, as everybody, including this program, did over the last week, he sounds like he's begging. Do you agree?
I didn't get that sense, and I really didn't. And I think what he's trying to do is communicate the idea that a simple idea to the public, which I think the public doesn't get, which is that he has ideas to fix the economy, and Congress will not pass those ideas, as opposed to holding him completely responsible and assume if Congress doesn't pass something, that simply reflects his own failure to get something done.
Well, it certainly stirs the pot for the political campaign, as well as focuses Americans on what's going to change this economy. Jonathan Chait, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Jonathan Chait is daily columnist at New York Magazine and author of The Big Con, Crackpot Economics, and The Fleecing of America.
So what gets things done in Washington? Is it compromise or is it confrontation? Tell us what you think at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can also read what other listeners are saying. Head over to our website at thetakeaway.org or find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/thetakeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.